Book of Luke, chapter 16. We're looking at verses 1 through 9. Y'all just say amen when y'all get there. All right. All right, here we go. Y'all ready? All right, I'm ready. Here we go. All right, verse 1. It says, "And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord, take it away from me, the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Father God, we ask that you would bless your word, Father God. Ask that you would just take full control of this service, Father God, this Bible study, Father God. I pray, God, that you would just have your way right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. I pray every person here, every soul would be listening attentively, Father God. Prepare the hearts of your sheep, Father God. I pray that you would decrease me, Lord God, and you would increase yourself, Lord God. I pray that you would have your way, Lord God. Give us revelation, illumination, understanding, Lord God, of this rich scripture right here, Father God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, y'all. So let me just give you just a little kind of in my world how I got to this scripture. So what I like to do, you know how you get the scripture of the day on your Bible app. Some of y'all have the Bible app. You get a scripture of the day. Well, when I look at the scripture of the day, I try to do it every day. I'm not 100% on it every day. But what I try to do is see that scripture of the day and then read the chapter that verse was in. You know what I'm saying? So the verse of the day led me to Luke 16. So I get to this parable. Now, there's like 40 parables, 40 to 46 parables that Jesus talks about in the Gospels, right? And this particular one, I had never heard of it before. This was new to me. Was it new to you when you just read it, or you heard it before? All right. Amen. So when I read it for the first time, I was like, I'm not understanding this. I need some understanding. Jesus talking about commending an unjust steward, talking about this unjust steward was wise, and talking about making friends with the mammon of unrighteousness. This was odd to me. So, man, I'm wrestling with it. I'm like, man, I don't understand this. This don't make sense right here. And usually when I read something, it usually makes sense. But I'm right here like, this, Lord, help, because I don't understand this. So I asked my wife. I went to, babe, I read this. This don't make no sense. She said, did you read the commentary? I said, no. Okay, all right. I'm going to go read the commentary. See, it's good to read the commentary. It'll help you out. When you don't understand something, it'll help you out. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, man, there's a conflict right here. It sounds like Jesus said he wanted us to make friends with unrighteousness. Like, that don't sound like Jesus. That there's a conflict right here. Now, one thing we got to understand, that anytime we get in the Word of God, and we find something that seems to have, seems to conflict, the Bible is not conflicting. It's just our lack of understanding. See, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So if you read something and it don't make sense, and that kind of conflicts with something, it's just because it's just your lack of understanding. It's not the Lord. But we could pray for understanding. So what we're going to do tonight, we're going to dig into this parable and get some understanding. Amen? All right. Also about the Bible, y'all, you can't trap God. People like to trap God. They try to say, oh, look, the Bible conflicted and all that stuff. You can't trap God. The Pharisees tried to trap God. Y'all remember that in Matthew 22? With the Pharisees asking Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? And Jesus read them balls, man. He read them balls. He says, the Pharisees say, teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard this person of many. They're trying to flatter Jesus right here. And they say, tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? Y'all asking me a question, but you're not asking me with a pure heart. You really don't really want to understand. You're just trying to trap me, but you can't trap Jesus. He's God. And he says, show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarii, and he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? They said to him, well, Caesar's. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. When they heard these words, they marveled, and they left him, and they went on their way. Holla. He check them. You're not going to trap Jesus. You're not going to trap Jesus. And y'all, another thing about the word of God, about this Bible, mine's a little falling apart right there, but don't mind that. They got that old saying, that says, if your Bible falling apart, that means you're not falling apart, right? So that this word, okay, this is not a textbook. This is not a math book. It's not a social studies book. It's not a science book. It's not something that how you study science and how you study math. This Bible is living. It's breathing. It inhales and it exhales. All right, it's alive. It's a diamond. The word of God is alive. It's timeless. And it's endless. And meaning that you might read the Bible to the end, but not even in a lifetime get the full meaning of the end. This word of God is deep. So let's begin, y'all. We're just going to go line by line. I'm not going to have any points. We're going to just chop it down. We want to get some understanding tonight. All right. So we start off at verse 1, and it says, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. Well, if we're looking at this verse, it starts off with the word and. So for my grammar folks, what is and? That's a conjunction. Okay, so therefore that there's something before this and that we need to find out. So right now we just want to set the scene of why Jesus is talking right now. Okay, but to find out what happened before the end, we're going to have to go back to Luke 15. But then when I went back to Luke 15, it didn't give me a scenery yet to find out what was going on, so I had to go to 14. I got to 14, but then I had to go to 13. But we're going to stop right there. I'm not going to go no further than that. We're going to go to Luke 13, and in Luke 13, we could set the scene of what's happening. Luke 13, 22, it says, and he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. This is what is going on. This is what Jesus is doing. He's going through the cities. He's going through villages. And he's teaching. He's dropping nuggets. He's giving parables. And he's on his way toward Jerusalem. In Luke 14, we get it says, and it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day that they watched him. So now we know he's going through the cities. He's going through the villages. And now he stops at one of the chief Pharisees to eat some bread, to get his grub on, all right? And while he is there, he poses a question to them, and he asks them, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Because at this moment, there was a certain man that was presented to Jesus, and this man had the dropsy. Now, dropsy is swelling, abnormal swelling in the body. Probably his legs were swollen. He probably was in pain. So Jesus asked him, is it lawful for me to heal on the Sabbath day? They brought the man to him. The Pharisees, they hold their peace, and Jesus takes the man, heals him, and lets him go. In this same chapter, Jesus speaks to those who were there, and he begins to give them parables. He talks about the chief seats. He said, when you're at a wedding and they invite you to a wedding, don't go and take the high seat. Let somebody come and pull you down and say, now, come sit over here. But rather, when you go, take the low seat, and they'll call you up. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. Now, after Jesus gives this parable, suddenly there's a multitude of people around Jesus listening to him give these parables. This takes us to Luke 15. Publicans and sinners were gathered around Jesus, Pharisees and scribes murmuring, saying, oh, this man receives sinners and eats with them? And here Jesus gives two parables. So we know that Jesus is going through the cities. He's going through the villages. He's teaching. He's dropping parables. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He stops at one of the house of a chief Pharisee. He eats there. He heals someone. More people come into the place. Publicans and sinners are there. He drops two parables. Y'all remember the parable of the 99 sheep? The one was lost. He left the 99 to get the one, and he said that even the angels rejoice over the present over the when one person gets saved. He also gave this parable of the prodigal son. Y'all remember the prodigal son? He said, "Man, daddy, I want my inheritance. I want my l'argent. I want it right now. Give it to me." And the daddy gave it to him. Old boy go to a far country. He go party. He make it rain, you understand? Run out of money, find himself eating swine with the pigs. Comes to himself, say, man, you know what? My daddy got servants, and they doing better than me compared to where I'm at right now. I'm going to just go back. I'm going to apologize. I'll just be a servant. Well, he goes back. What happens? His father meets him down the road, is grateful to see him back, clothes him back with the robe, puts the ring back on his finger, takes him back in. The parable of the prodigal son. So chapters 13, 14, and 15, Jesus is speaking to either the Pharisees, a great multitude of people, publicans and sinners. And we get to here, chapter 16, and it says, and he said unto his disciples. So now we see what's going on. He was talking to the Pharisees. He was talking to the multitude of people. He was talking to the publicans and the sinners, and now he turns and he talks to the church. He's talking to his disciples. That's us, those who follow Jesus, the people of God. Now, the Pharisees, y'all, and the scribes, they're still present, so we can say that Jesus is speaking to unbelievers and believers right here. Let's continue in verse 1. It says, and there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. We have here a certain rich man. This rich man can be a boss. It could be a leader, a higher authority. This certain rich man in this parable can also be referred to as the Lord. This certain rich man had a steward. That's me and you. All right? All of us are represented right here as stewards. Verse 1 continues, and it says, and the same, meaning this same steward, was accused unto the rich man, the boss, was brought to the boss and found out that the steward had wasted the boss's goods. He done messed up. He in trouble. Word got to the boss that his steward, he ain't been handling his business, man. He been off his game. He ain't been doing a good job. He not doing what I'm paying him to do. He not doing what I've already paid for him to do. He's not doing what I died for him to do. He is not doing what I created him to do. The Lord would say he has wasted the life that I have given to him. He's wasting it. And he's, come give an account. I hear what's going on. You're not on your job, man. You're wasting your life. And see, a lot of times we think that our lives are for us, that is ours, right? So as I was getting prepared for this message, I'm in the hallway at the house. And before I went into the room to go study, I had closed the door and I'm in the hallway, right? And I'm praying. I'm looking up and I'm praying. And I'm like, Lord, man, fill me with your spirit. You know, give me a word for your sheep, for your people. Help me, Lord. I said, and then I go and I say, y'all, you, I said, Lord, use my vessel for your will. And he stopped me. What do you mean, my vessel? He stopped me right dead in the prayer. What you mean, your vessel? Boy, that's for me, he's saying. And I was like, oh, man, if we could get a revelation and understanding just how much this thing we in, this flesh, this body, is not for us. We think that it's for us. We move around like it's for us. We go about our day like it's for us. We live our lives. People waste their lives thinking, This is my life. I do what I want. And that's not the case. You are not your own. Your body is not for you. It's for him. He made it. You didn't make yourself. A lot of folks are wasting their life, y'all. Wasting it away. Not fulfilling the purpose that they're supposed to be doing. And they're getting checked out because of it. A lot of folks are wasting their life away. The merry-go-round of life. What's that, Brother James? Well, relationship to relationship. Breakup to breakup. Party to party. Drink to drink. Smoke to smoke. Club to club. Drug to drug. Brick to brick. Jail to jail. Baby mama to baby mama. Baby daddy to baby daddy. Project to project, welfare check to welfare check, fight to fight, shootout to shootout, grave to grave, merry-go-round. Our people, man, are wasting their life. A wasted life. And this is the thing, y'all. We only have so long down here. We on a clock. We only have so long, and we know the Bible says that it ain't nothing but a vapor. But we live thinking that we're going to always be here. We think that we're going to always be here. And that's the furthest from the truth. Earth here, this realm, is not the final destination. Not right now. No. We're in the in-between right here. James 4:14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish it away. One of my favorite books, y'all, Ecclesiastes. Man, y'all read that thing. That thing is so deep, so rich. Ecclesiastes 7:4 in the NLT, it says, a wise person thinks a lot about death, while a fool thinks only about having a good time. And now we living in Louisiana. And y'all know how to say and go. Laissez les bon temps rouler. Let the good times roll. And they teach us this, bruh. We grew up from a child and they teaching us how to party, how to cut up, how to trail ride, how to smoke, how to drink, how to do this thing. We are bred in this in South Louisiana. Let the good times roll. Merry-go-round. Verse number 2. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Commentary says, this parable of a steward about to be dismissed from his office and who thus would be stripped of his income is a fit emblem of a man about to be removed from this world by death. He's about to check out. Is it? What does this tell us, y'all? That death comes to every man. You can't avoid this. This is the 100% thing that is a guarantee. You shall die. This is for sure. It will happen. My brother of voice that better believe that song, that songwriter said, he said, death gonna sneak everybody. I like when he said, then he said, no matter how you bob and weave, you're gonna get hit with death, man. It's coming. Ecclesiastes 9:12, for man also knoweth not his time. We don't know it. We don't know when it's gonna be. We don't know when he's gonna call that number. As the fishes that are taken in an evil net. That fish got up that morning. That fish didn't think it was his last day. But, well, he bit the worm. He got hooked. And he cooked. And he fried. And it's over. He ain't think that was going to happen to him that day. Same way with us. And as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. It makes me remember about my BC days in the club, party and all that stuff, right? And when I first began to go to the club, I like to dance, y'all. So it's why no surprise y'all be seeing me in the front praising the Lord, because if I was praising for the devil for all that time, well, I better praise the Lord more than I was back then. You understand? So, you know, when I first began to go to the club, I was always, you know, I was in there. Lil John was out at the time, and it was going down. But the longer the years went on, I began to stop dancing, and I would just be on the wall, like Minister Sam was talking about, just holding the wall, and all I did was this. All right? But as I'm now stopping dancing, really, and just observing, I'm still drinking, I'm still smoking, I begin to look at the people, look at myself, and these thoughts come to my mind. I'm not saved, though, y'all. I don't know the Bible, okay? But these thoughts begin to come to my mind. Man, what if I go tonight, bro? Man, I'm in this club, bro. And it kept happening. I'm not saved, no, at this time. I'm telling y'all, I'm not saved. I don't know Jesus. Man, what if he come back? I'm in the club. What if he come back? What you mean, what if he come back? Now, these thoughts going on in my mind, who I'm going to talk to about that? The brother next to me, he smoked out. Who am I to ask? Who am I to say it to this too? You understand what I'm saying? So I didn't tell nobody, but this is the thoughts going on in my mind. But what I continued to do, I just kept drinking, kept smoking to push that thought down. Revelation. The oracles of God are in the Hebrews. I believe this has happened to all the Hebrews even right now. But what we do, we smoke it. We smoke that thought down. We drink that thought down. He gonna wake us up, yeah. He gonna do it. He's speaking to him now already. So y'all, right there, y'all, the Lord, the boss, is about to strip the steward's position from him. He will be stripped from everything, his income, his livelihood. He knows he has nothing after this, just like death. Naked we came into the world, and naked we shall leave. We came here with nothing, and we will leave here with nothing. Revelation 3:17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, blind, and naked. They got brothers, the thing these days, is now, they say it's like they say they gods now. They make their money, they think they God. But that whole time, God is looking at that. Yeah, you got all this money. Yeah, you got all this accolade and all these titles and all that stuff. You don't realize, boy, you're naked right now. You think you're clothed, but you're naked right now because you ain't got the blood of Jesus on you. You're blind. You can't see nothing spiritual right now. You're rich, but you're actually poor because you got earthly riches, but you have no heavenly riches. You're poor. You're miserable because when you go back to your apartment after you done did all the partying and when you're by yourself, you really are actually miserable. And you're wretched because you're a sinner. It makes me think about the rich fool, y'all. Remember that parable of the rich fool in Luke 12? Jesus told him a parable about this man says, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'm going to do. Oh, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus of grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain. I'm balling. It's laid up for many years. I got it stacked up to the ceiling. I'm going to chill. I'm going to be easy. I'm going to eat. I'm going to drink. I'm going to be merry. But God. Somebody say, but God. See, they got two kinds of but gods. They got a good but God and they got a bad but God. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? You're storing up all these things. Who gonna get it now? Because you're about to check out. 1 Timothy 6:7, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. Your money, your goods, your things, they gonna perish with you. Let's go to verse 3. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord take it away from me, the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. He starts thinking about his life now. He thinks about his livelihood. And he's saying to himself, man, I can't dig. And I got in my notes, well, what you mean you can't dig? Man, you're fired. You better go work somewhere. Go flip some burgers, do something. I mean, yeah, okay, yeah, you was working up here, yeah, but they fired you. You wasn't doing a good job. You got fired. You better go do something. But the truth is, y'all, Matthew Henry commentary says, Matt says, I like to call him that, Matt said, this steward is lazy. He just lazy. When he said that he could not, I cannot dig, what he really means to say is he would not. He don't want. He got the don't wants. Then he says to beg, I am ashamed. Somebody say pride. Pride. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, he's ashamed to beg, right? But he wasn't ashamed of what he had did to his master. But he cheating his master. He not doing his job the way he's supposed to. He more embarrassed to have to go beg somebody for some bread, but he ain't not ashamed about what got him into that predicament to begin with. That's a wicked mind, bro. You worried about the wrong thing. You worried about what people are going to say. Man, you did wrong, man. You're wrong, you're wrong. You got fired, you got fired. Apologize, fess up, repent, get a job. Do the right thing now. But now he don't want to do that. He worried about what people are going to say. Oh, what the church going to say? What you mean what the church going to say? What God say? How God feel about this, man? Verse 4-7. We're going to pick up a little speed right here. It says, I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the house, when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly, write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. So right here, it goes from being bad to getting worse. You see what he did? So he working for old boy. He getting fired. He getting let go. And he says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to everybody that owe my boss something, and I'm going to break them off. I'm going to take a little off their bill. So once they fire me, because I helped them, they're going to help me later. So he went from doing one wicked thing, which is the reason he's getting fired, to doing another wicked thing. I was like, bro, this made me mad when I read that. I was like, bro, how you going to do that, bro? You're doing wrong, man. You're not being a good steward. This is why you're fired. And you could continue doing some more wrong? Really? John, that's like you got some houses, right? You got rent houses, okay? All right? You hire somebody to handle the paperwork and the administration of doing the money part, right? You send them out to go get the rent. You know what? He's not doing a good job. You're about to fire him. But before he go, he said, man, I'm going to go to all John's, everybody, all his tenants, and I'm gonna cut off they rent half. How he do that? That's his money. That's his business. That's his houses. It's not the steward's houses. That's trifling, bro. It's trifling. It's wrong. It's so wrong. It's so wrong. I had trouble with that. And then this is what I had trouble at right here at verse 8. Here we go. And the Lord commended the unjust steward. Hold up. Wait. Whoa. That ball just... He did wrong twice. And the Lord commended the unjust steward? Wait, am I reading the Bible? What is this? That don't make sense to me. He's doing wrong. He's clearly out of line. He's getting fired. We know that he's out of line because the boss is like, you got to go. I'm about to take away your stewardship. I'm about to fire you. And he do some more wrong. But the Lord says... And the Lord commended the unjust steward. So let's look at the word commended. Just to be sure y'all understand what commended means. Commended means to praise, to compliment, to congratulate, to applaud, to clap, cheer, toast, salute, admire, honor. Wait, Lord, you're saying that you're applauding his behavior? You're clapping, you're cheering for this wicked act? It can't be, Lord Jesus, you wouldn't do that. No, no. In another translation, in the same verse, it says the master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. Say it like that, shrewdly. Shrewd means sharp, acute, intelligent, clever, far-seeing, wise, far-sighted. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Wait, man. Wait. Wait, wait, wait. He did wrong? And you're saying that was wise? What's going on in the Bible right here, man? The Lord, y'all, he's not applauding bad behavior. No, no, no. That's not what he's doing. This is not the first time you hear of an unjust person. The unjust steward. Do y'all remember the unjust judge? Okay? The unjust judge. So Jesus gives a parable about a widow. She goes. She wants the judge to avenge her. She keep going. He keep avoiding. She keep going. He keep avoiding. And it's like, okay, I'm going to just do it because you're wearying me. Right? So what happens is he eventually does what she needs to happen. But he was an unjust judge. This is comparing to God, but God is holy. So how much more would he do for you if an unjust judge would do for somebody? That's what it is a how much more. So this is what Jesus is trying to do with us. We're the unjust steward, okay? The Lord is not commending y'all. He's not congratulating. He's not praising the fraudulent act of this unjust steward. But rather, the policy of the steward. The steward made preparation for his future. All right? Worldly men, in the choice of their object, money, they're foolish. Their objective is foolish. Their scheming, conniving, treacherous way is foolish. Their cheating is absolutely wrong. But in their activity, in their perseverance, in their planning it out, they are often wiser than believers. What does this mean for us? The unjust steward is not set before us as an example in cheating his master. Nah. Or to justify any dishonesty, but to point out the careful ways of worldly men. They'll put a lot of energy in doing wrong. And God is saying, how much would you do to do right with that same energy, that same tenacity? It would be well if the children of light would learn wisdom from the men of the world and would as earnestly pursue their better object. And what is our object as believers? It's heaven. Why? Because we shall surely die. We shall depart from here. We all must die. We all must go. See, Jesus is trying to say, you got to send some things to heaven before you get there. I prepared a place for you, but you could send some things there before you get there. That's like we about to go to D.C., right? We might have to send some things to D.C., some equipment, before we get there. So then when we get there, it's going to be there. When we get there. All right? Matthew 6:19-21 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. 1 Timothy, let's check that out. 1 Timothy 6:18. In the NIV, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, for the future, for heaven, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Where is your heart at tonight? Where is your treasure at? The unjust steward was wise because he had foresight. He looked to the future. That's why the gospel is so important. People dying every day. This is why they have to hear the gospel so they could prepare for the future. So they could have eternal life. Preparing for the future. And what does that look in some other areas? What does that look like in your marriage? Do you look to the future for your marriage? Can you see your marriage in the future? What does it look like? What is being invested in for the future? But I'm not talking about like investments in life insurance policies. No. I'm talking about time, date nights, talking, living life, going through life with your spouse. Life stories with them, going through life with them. When you got saved, you got married to Christ. All right? He loved you first so that you could love him back. You got saved and you made a commitment to him. Then you go roll with him till the wheels fall off. You could be down with him the whole time while you're here. Same commitment within the marriage. You're going to be there. You're going to stay there till the wheels fall off. We're going to roll. We're going to go through life together. We could go up. We're going to go down. We're going to left. We're going to right. We're still going to be there, though. For the future. Do you look to the future for your children? I'm not talking about setting up a car, a house for them. Those things are good. Do those things. But also, time. Remember, we're on a clock. We're on a schedule. The time is ticking. Do you take time to spend some time with them and just play with them? Just talk with them? Share with them life stories? Share with them moments that will carry them during their future? Will they have that moment in their future where they say, I remember when daddy said, I remember when mama told me? And also, y'all, looking at the gospel, The times that we share the gospel with somebody, a word, or plant a seed, inviting somebody to church, all of these things affect the future. If somebody wouldn't have told me about Philly, my wife wouldn't have told me about Philly, I wouldn't be here right now. If somebody didn't tell you about Philly, you wouldn't be here right now. But when somebody did, it did something to your future. All of these things, sharing the gospel, planting a seed, sharing the word, they affect the future. And are we doing these things? Now, it's not an everyday thing that you're going to share the gospel with somebody. It might not be every day. Some people, it might be every day, but it might not be every day. Some people might do it every day, but you might be doing it every day, but not really, the seed not really growing. You just, no, don't do that. Instead of, it's not an everyday thing, it's an open window thing. Waiting for the open window to share that gospel, to share that word. Let's go to verse 9, y'all. We're going to close it up, y'all. We're going to close it up. Verse 9. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. This was another weird moment for me. Like, what you mean by that, Lord? What are you talking about? Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. Well, when it says make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, the mammon, that's referring to money. How we know this? Luke 16:13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's talking about money. Now, when it says the mammon of unrighteousness, this is because usually, not all the time, usually wealth, money, in many cases, the getting of money is tainted with something unrighteous to attain it. Money alone, y'all, is not evil. But the perspective of how you see money, how one has about money, that can either be evil or righteous. What are we doing with what God gives us? Are we really down? Are we with it? You understand? Are we with it? Because, see, he wants us to look to the future and plan ahead, because we're going to a heavenly place, right? When it begins to say that they may receive you into everlasting habitations, when you are investing in the gospel, whether it's given to the church, whether it's being a part of the school of the Hebrews, of this that movement of spreading the gospel, telling people who they are, those who are affected by the gospel, those same people that will be saved because you was attached to it, they're going to welcome you with a celebration when you go to heaven at that time. They're going to welcome you because you're going to be one of the catalysts, one of the ones that was in part, that was a part of that. Are we down? Are we down? Are we really, really down? What's going on? Y'all, what's happening in this church, this is an anomaly of what's going on over here. This is a precious thing that's going on over here. A lot of people are being affected by this wake-up call. Israel is waking up. Lives are changing all over this country. I see the emails all the time. Families are transformed by this, y'all. Be a part of this thing, man. Maybe you may not be able to go to D.C. I understand that. Totally understand that. But you could still do something to contribute to the cause of it. You're preparing for the future. 1 Timothy, I'm going to say it again. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation of the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. What is the moral of this parable? Prepare for the future. Why? Because we're on a clock. How do we prepare? We do so by believing in Jesus Christ to have eternal life. While we're on earth, we do good. Because we are saved, and it's not to get saved. Your treasures in heaven will be waiting for you when you get there. That's what Jesus wants us to do. But when I say to prepare for the future, they got some unbelievers in here. Not everybody in here saved, bro. Not everybody in here saved. Somebody had never heard the gospel before. So to prepare for your future, because you shall surely die. You will exit this place. You will exit this realm. And because that is a sure thing, you need to take hold on something that's for sure. If something is about to go down for sure, you need to grab something that's going to be for sure too. That for sure thing is Jesus Christ. Because he died on the cross for you, for your sins. All the wicked things like this unjust steward, you are unjust steward as well. We have not done right. We have not lived life the way God has wanted us to. Not all the time. No, man. We are all an unjust steward. And we can check out. He could check us out. But rather, he gives us a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, a fifth chance. He'll keep loving you. Come to him. Receive him. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Jesus Christ, he put on flesh. He's God. He's perfect, holy, without spot, without blemish. And he died for us. He died for you. Even when you didn't even know it. Even when you was out there in that world, he already done it for you. But what you have to do, you have to admit. You have to admit that you are a sinner. That I am an unjust steward. I have not stewarded my life well. I've wasted my life. I have not done the right thing. After you admit that, you believe what? You believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, for your sins, that he rose again on the third day, and that he's coming back. And then you confess what? You confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is Lord of what? Is Lord over my life. My life is now his. That's what we do. That's the good news. That's the sweet news. That's the news that changes lives. That's the news that had set me free. March is a special month because it was March when I set foot at 201 West Pond in 2010, it was the month of March, and I've been here since then. He changed my life, and I know he could change yours. He is no respecter of person. What he's done for me, what he's done for the other one, what he's done for them, he can and will. He gonna do it for you. We are all an unjust steward, but we could be wise in our ways by preparing for the future, and we could do that today. So if y'all could just bow your heads, close your eyes. We're just going to go to the Lord in prayer. Just repeat after me. Say, Lord, I thank you for dealing with me, for putting up with my ways, and not destroying me before time, for giving me a chance to accept your son. And I want to do that right now. Lord, I admit I am a sinner. Lord, I believe in your son, Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross, that he rose on the third day, and that he's coming back again. And like your word says, if I would confess out of my mouth the Lord Jesus, that he rose from the grave, that I would be saved. I confess that right now. Jesus Christ is my Lord of my life, My life belongs to you. I want to do your plan. I want to do your will. I want to do what you have for me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank y'all so much for coming out tonight. Y'all are a blessing. I thank God for each and every one of y'all, man. Y'all, thank y'all for praying for me while I was up here. We family, man. Love y'all. Gonna change the world, y'all. Philadelphia is gonna change the world, y'all. Let me just pray y'all out. Father God, I thank for every soul that's here tonight, Father God. I pray, God, just a hedge of protection upon them as they go home, Father God. May they go return home, Lord God, to peaceful homes, Lord God. Peaceful conversations, Lord God. Bring peace to their valleys, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, you would favor them in all that they have to do on this week, Father God. Prepare the rest of their week, Lord God. Be with them, Lord God. Bring us back here again on Sunday, Lord God, into your house, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all be blessed. Hallelujah.